So we're going to talk about the bride of Christ in two ways this morning. Adele's going to come up first and talk about the bride making herself ready. And then I'm going to pick up the bride is an army. Because there are these two revelations of the bride that are important. To understand that there's an internal inheritance that Christ has made possible. And that internal inheritance is we become like Jesus Christ. By His Spirit, He enables us to overcome sin and display all the characteristics that His bride should display. You see, He's not coming back for a bride that is like in a second-hand dress and, you know, full of zits and hairs all over the place and mud splattered. We're going to be pure and spotless through His sacrifice. But at the same time, He is not coming back for a, I suppose the best way to put it is, any of you know who Twiggy is? No? She's a model that popularized thin. And now there's this obsession that beauty is thin. But we in Africa know that that's rubbish. Because Jesus is coming back for a Mafuta bride. From every tribe, from every nation, speaking every language, right? She is wonderfully big. That's why the bride's an army. We've got a job not only to display the glory of the kingdom, but we have got a job to kind of take this gospel out and to invite the world to this great wedding feast. Here's a great revelation. Would all the men please stand? If your husband is sitting, just push him up. Right, I got news for you. You and you with the beard and, you know, you with the manly look on your face. We are all the bride of Christ. Right? Isn't that something? And I'm not saying anything woke. You are the bride of Christ if I look at scriptures. You sit down. Ladies, stand up. In all of your femininity and the rest of it, God has made you an army as well. So we have this wonderful combination. Is the bride is an army. So Dell's going to make this clear. Please sit down. Would you come, please? I think I got first prize.
So happy that the men know that they're also the brides. You might not have to dress up, but when you stand before the bridegroom, you'll want to be that bride. Because every knee is going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that's amazing. So, yeah, when we stand before the Lord, I don't think we're going to actually be able to stand. When we see Him face to face, we are going to fall down and just worship Him and glorify Him. Isn't that going to be a wonderful day? And we're looking forward to it. Jesus is coming back. And Ephesians 5 verse 27 says, so that He might present the church to Himself in splendor without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that she might be holy and without blemish. Jesus is coming back for a bride, the bride that He's creating, and what the Bible says. And like Marcus says, we don't have to all be twiggies, but we all don't have to be like this. We must just be the way God's made us. But it's a spiritual thing. Today we are not talking about the outward, it's the heart, the bride of Christ. And that's why the church is called to be the bride. Men, women, boys and girls, we're all part of that army. We're all part of the bride. Corinthians 3 verse 17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Wasn't there freedom today? It was a little bit of chaos, but I think when we get to heaven, it's going to even be worse. We're all going to be worshiping the Lord, every tribe, every nation. They'll be singing, worshiping. We won't be standing still like this. We'll be celebrating. The Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all with unveiled faces behold the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. We all desire to be the bride, standing before our bridegroom, spotless. That's what I want. I want to stand before the bridegroom. That's just a reflection. I want to stand before that bridegroom without any spots, any blemishes, and anything that will separate me from receiving that well done, my daughter. And that's all our heart's desire. And today, I just want to use a natural bride. So I'm giving the privilege of the men who are the brides to see the bride. So we're going to have Carl and Becky. They're going to just come. And I just want you to just relax and look at them as they come. But I want you to be able to see yourself walking up to your bridegroom. Ask Jesus to open your eyes to see him as your bridegroom today. If you've never seen your bridegroom, today can open your eyes. I just want us to not look so much on them. But yesterday when Becky came, or Friday night, somebody said they saw Jesus upon her. Because we asked the ladies to reflect on Jesus. And that's what I'm asking you to this morning. It's just to get into a moment and say, Lord, if I've never seen you as my bridegroom, open my eyes today, that I can see myself as your bride and I can see you as my bridegroom. So I'll just ask Carl and Becky to come. And Alice is going to sing for us.
Bride and groom, everybody. I call you.
And this is all in the natural. Imagine when you come down that aisle and the bridegroom Jesus is waiting for you. What is he going to say? My beautiful, splendid bride without spot or any blemishes. Today, Rebecca has got boots on. She's taken her beautiful, lovely shoes off because today she's going to be the bride that's going to enter the army. She doesn't have a bouquet anymore, because she's going to have the sword in her hand with Carl. And can you see, it's men and women together, families together in this army, fighting and becoming the bride of Christ that he wants us to be. But you know, so many times we say we want to be that bride. I want to look so beautiful, this white shirt. I want to look so handsome and splendor. I can't describe you, Carl. What can I say? Handsome? Okay. I don't know. And another thing is when we walk up, the Father's going to smell that beautiful perfume. Because today I can smell the perfume right on them. Isn't that beautiful? The Father, the bridegroom's going to smell your perfume. He knows each one of us, what we love and what we desire. So, Rebecca has got her boots on, and she's ready for fighting in the army, and we all stand in today, and we're saying, Lord, we want to be that bride, but tomorrow's Monday, and then what happens? We have a fight. We're just not this army anymore. We're not this beautiful bride, because sin comes in and takes control. And that's what happens to our lives. We stand pure and beautiful, and then things just come against us. And I'm just using this cloak just to describe sin. And we allow sin in. And the Father says, I'm wanting my beautiful bride. But we just give in to so many things that entangle us. And it's like this beautiful bride, together, there's so much sin. And there might be things today that you just say, Father, I cannot be that bride because there are things that are entangling me. I've put this cloak on of lust and unforgiveness, offense. A word came through that there's so many people carrying offenses. And what happens when you're offended? You start going into unforgiveness. And then unforgiveness becomes whatever and ever and ever. And we carry all these things. And I feel the Father is saying today that he wants to set us free. He wants to take that cloak off. He wants us to stand before him beautiful. He wants us to be just so radiant in his eyes. And as Rebecca came up that aisle on the day when Carl met her, do you know the week before she came, she had acne. She wasn't looking so beautiful, so she went off to MAC Makeup. And they plastered her, and they put all this lovely foundation on her. And when she came down the aisle, Carl could not believe how splendid and beautiful she was. But you know what? When they woke up the next morning, he looked and said, wow, what's behind all of that? Now, I mean, Marcus did that to me. He said, really? I didn't realize that you weren't so beautiful. No, but you know what? When we come down that aisle, we can hide nothing from the Lord. No MAC makeup or Revlon or whatever can plaster your sin. You cannot hide anything from the Lord. He doesn't want you to come down that aisle pretending that you're not who you really are. We can't make ourselves like we prepare for being this beautiful bride. He wants us to come down that aisle just the way we are. So if you're struggling and you're just saying, oh, I'll just pretend I'm this. Don't, because the Lord sees right into your bride's heart. And he's saying today, he loves you just the way you are. He doesn't love the sin, but he loves you. And today, I feel the Lord wants to strip all those things off us. He wants to take this cloak off, and he wants you to stand splendor, radiant, beautiful in his eyes. That's what he's saying to you today. And he's saying you are beautiful, but you need to rise up and be the army. You have to put the sword in your hand. There are nations to reach. There are people to reach. And he's saying, come to me daily. Come to me every day and say, Lord, I want to. I want to meet my bridegroom. I want to come before you with unforgiveness. I want to ask you to forgive me daily. Strip off all those things. Be the bride that God wants you to be. You must make yourself ready. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Today could be your last opportunity. We don't know. But God is saying, come to me, because I am calling you today. And I feel that that's what the Lord is saying. He wants us to be the splendid, beautiful bride. But he's calling us to be an army. And Marcus will take us into the bit with the army. You guys look amazing.
They're okay. I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb, having the glory of God, its radiance like a most rare jewel, like jasper, clear as crystal. So what makes them, or what makes us white as snow, is the blood of Jesus Christ. We need to understand, and we're going to, in our worship, break bread and celebrate the most important thing in our lives. It's not our ability. It's not any great shakes. It's not sitting in a church, or it's not owning a Bible. It's a relationship with Jesus. He wants every single one of us to have a relationship with him. That's a starting point of becoming the bride. And then ongoingly, we can apply this work of the cross, the sacrifice he endured, so I can be free on a daily basis and an event-by-event basis, so that we can remain in that place of taking ground in our hearts. That internal inheritance is Christ potentially has given each one of us his nature and his character. And so situation by situation, he wants us to make the right choices, apply his word, use his strength, not by might nor by power. They can change nothing. It says you can't even, change the hairs on your head. I've tried, it doesn't work. Anyway, here's the deal. It's only through the blood of Jesus Christ, and it's working with him and living in the resurrected power of Christ. And so that's how we become this bride full of radiance. We're going to give opportunity to folk to make that decision if you haven't. If you've never received Christ into your heart as Lord and Savior, you're in the right place right now, because we're going to give you the opportunity to say, I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be ready for that day. You see, great white throne judgment says there will be a judgment, but in Christ, those who have received him are judged, and we get rewards. Those who don't know Christ are going to be judged for an eternity of pain and suffering. We don't want that to happen to anybody, not one single person. So the bride is an army. I love that. So there's an external, internal inheritance, and the external inheritance, he's equipped us with his word, and he's put shoes on our feet. Show us your boots again. I like those. I think we're starting a new fashion trend over here. We really are. Revelation 5:9, and they sang a new song saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Isn't that awesome? So through us, he wants to make an appeal. And so kind of what he does with us, he wants to do through us. They overcame the enemy by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. In other words, from this moment onwards, we want to use whatever he's given us, this nature of God, the love of God, the word of God, the power of God, the anointing of God to reach out with the gospel. And he has prepared this external inheritance for us. And so individually, we want to reach out with the love of God. And together, we're going to see churches planted all over the place. That's why we do it. Because we don't want just them. We want many to be part of this incredible wedding feast. In Revelation 22, 17, Revelation 22, last chapter of Scripture, this is how it kind of ends. The Spirit and the bride say, come. And let the ones who hear come. And let the ones who are thirsty come. Let the one who desires take the water of life without price. So what God does through the bride and the Spirit anointing and us working together with the Holy Spirit is he says to the world, come. We're the invitation to something that is far better, something that is going to last forever. And to all those who can hear, all those who are thirsty, because this is true drink, this is true food. And so God is wanting to make his appeal through every one of us. You see, outreach, evangelism, church planting, all of that is not a program. It's the very thing that he's equipped us for. And what he wants to do is put us on the runways, not airplane runways, fashion runways of the world and show off his splendor. Show the love of Christ can transform normal, ordinary people into incredible warriors. Put swords in our hands, boots on our feet, so we can go and take this gospel to the nations of the world. Ephesians 2, I'll end with this scripture. Could the band please come up? Thanks. For by grace you have been saved through faith. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All of us should say that. And this is not your own doing, because it's a gift of God. We could not save ourselves. Jesus died on the cross to save us, rose from the dead to give us new life. Okay, that's it. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It's a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man or woman may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So every person, every church, God has ordained good works. There's a path, there's an inheritance that is ours, and he's giving us everything, anointing us to go and take this inheritance. And through that, see many, many come into his kingdom. Isn't that great? I'm excited about that. Let's bow.